Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Amen. Well, today is a really important day for us all, especially because we have Lutheran in our name. It's Reformation Sunday, so it's a blessed day, and it's a great day to remember Jesus Christ and his grace and gospel that was reformed and brought anew 503 years ago, I suppose. Yeah. So it's a crazy amount of time, but it's all about Christ, and him alone is what the focus of the Reformation is, and it's the Word alone, which is fitting for our first hymn, Thy Strong Word, which we'll begin with.
Why?
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, and by his authority, I therefore declare the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the psalm from Psalm 46. We'll speak responsibly. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first reading for this Reformation Sunday is from Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead, with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. And what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works. No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join together on page 6 to confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing our next hymn. Please be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Reformation Sunday, everyone. It's the day. This is our day. With Lutheran in the name, as I said before, it's undeniable that we should pull out all the stops in some fashion to celebrate the Reformation. I love Reformation Sunday, even though all we do really is just change the colors and do our favorite hymns. But it's an awesome day. I love it because Lutherans and Lutherans have this day to themselves. We sing those triumphant and militant hymns. It's great. We have great pride in it. But a lot of my joy in the Reformation comes from my time at the seminary, because as you might expect, we spared no expense in celebrating the Reformation, even though I know the rest of the world doesn't really care as much, and October 31st for them is really Halloween. But we can at least take a Sunday to remember the many good things that came from Luther, from the Reformers, and from our Christian heritage. Reformation's a fun day, especially for us Lutherans. We dress up in red. We do all the things. It would be a disservice to not call attention to the Sunday that we celebrate. And what makes it a lot more fun, I think, is the readings from our text today, especially from John. It's a familiar kind of language to it. You almost feel like you've heard it before, but never would associate it with John's gospel. Or you would, but the truth will set you free. I don't know if I'm making it up, but I feel like I've heard that in movies, or that people would say that the truth will set you free. Give me the truth. And for us who celebrate the Reformation, how important is that for us? That the 503 years, I think we said, of the Lutheran Church, after the truth had set us free from all the tyranny and the oppression of the 16th century Catholic Church, we love the truth and we love freedom. We love how the truth has freed us from the bonds of this slavery, of these authorities that would tell us what to do in misguided ways. And Luther showed us, in some sense, how you can tell people that not to mess with me. A you can do what you want mentality, almost. And Luther, of course, began this crusade because the Catholic Church of the 16th century was repressing the gospel, right? Repressing the truth of Christ, who comes to set us free, that we are not judged by our works, but we are judged by grace, and God shows grace to us. And as the Reformation surged, our fathers of Lutheranism continued this freedom, this truth, preaching and teaching this truth, moving away and branching from the church in Rome. And some suggest that Luther himself was the father of not only a new denomination, but a forefather to the Enlightenment, right? An Enlightenment where freedom and truth would be expounded even into greater and bigger and newer ideas. And this sort of truth and freedom is exactly that extended to a place that we live today, United States of America, right? Practically, all of us being Americans, American freedom is of great importance for us. We were not going to be dictated by the rule and authority of some other entity that bent the truth or tried to bound our freedoms from an ocean away. No, Americans fought and died to bring about the truth and freedom to all, to promote human well-being and life together. Our forefathers penned down the importance of truth and what that means for our freedom. It's this emphasis on the truth and on freedom that is the American way, that we look back at our history and how it evolved to bring about more that we enjoy. This Sunday of the Reformation, we live in undoubtedly the most prosperous time of our human history. Sure, even in the midst of a pandemic, many of us can feel somewhat safe and secure or a little comfortable. Even those of us who might be a little more cautious and careful because of the things going on around us, we can still feel relatively secure in our home and with our family. We enjoy so many benefits of what our fathers from the Reformation fought for in promoting the truth and freedom. We receive benefits from what our fathers from American history fought and died for in pursuit of the truth and bringing about freedom to everyone. So when we look at John chapter 8, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Maybe you're like me and can't help but be like, yes, the truth has set us free. And look where it has taken us. The freest and most prosperous people. Look at what our fathers have done. Look how they have expounded the truth. It's a wonderful thing. And despite the troubles going on around us, it's a wonderful time we live in. I wouldn't want to live in any other time. We can be quite proud. The unfortunate thing, though, is that there's a temptation to think we know who we are because of the goodness we received. If we just look to ourselves for the truth, and in that way, the truth that we find within ourselves will set us free, that everything has become so personal and self-dependent, you could say, well, we're independent. We're free from others telling us what to do and believe. We're free to pave our own path, right? To pursue our own dreams. We're free to love who we want and free to do what we want. And why are we free to do these things? Well, it's because don't we have the truth? And the truth has set us free. The truth that I've been endowed with rights by my Creator for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Isn't that the truth? That I'm not bound by others' authority to others' wills, but my own? I'm free. Isn't that what John's talking about? Isn't that what we're told? What we're grown up with? Isn't that what Jesus is all about? Well, I'm not too sure. As you might imagine. Before our reading in John chapter 8, Jesus is dealing with the Jewish people and the Jewish leaders over the concern of his own authority to preach and teach to these people, to talk about God's truth. But just before this passage, Jesus claimed to be the light of the world in chapter 8, the one revealing the truth of God and what that means for the world. And he teaches again that he'll be going away and will be in the moment when he is lifted up, that they will know who he is as the one whom the Father sent. And it's then we reach our passage today. Jesus is talking to the Jews who remained and believed all that he said. These Jewish people have remained and believe what he has said. And he says to them, "If you abide in my word, you truly are my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." And of course, the Jewish people were quick to answer because they're following him. They believe in him. And they know that they're offsprings of Abraham. They're God's people. We don't need to be free from anything. So how can you say that we will be free? Now, these are people that truly trust in Abraham and the law because they're thinking of something completely different because they've been enslaved in exile and everything. But they still believe they are free because of what Abraham and the fathers have given them. We're offsprings. And then Jesus tells them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house, but the son does. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, and you want to kill me because my word has no place for you. I speak of what I have seen from my Father, and that is the truth, and you do what you have heard from your father." What is he saying there? Why would he say that? Why does he jump to sin after they bring up the fact that they are free because of the offspring of Abraham? Well, it's because it's what he says at the end there. "I speak of what I have seen from my Father, that is the truth. And you do what you have heard from your father." Maybe the Reformation can be a dangerous day for us who call ourselves Lutherans. Because looking towards our fathers before us can be dangerous because the temptation for us is to, I guess, follow them. to follow a prominent and influential figure, a good speaker, or even a good person. And Jesus says in response to these Jewish people who trust and follow Abraham and their forefathers, that those who practice sin are a slave to sin. So I guess he's saying Abraham and the people of Israel who followed afterwards are sinful? I guess Jesus seems to think that is the case. Because, well, the thing about sin is that sin doesn't care about who you are, why you're here, where you're going, or what church or nation you belong to. Sin doesn't care about your job, about your spouse, about your children. Sin, death, and the devil really only care about one thing, and that is, who is your master? Whom do you follow? All the good that came out of the reformers, from Luther, from the Lutheran Church, from the founding of America, even all the good things and programs that we do here at St. Timothy, they're not your inalienable right. It's not yours or mine, inherited from a monk in Wittenberg or a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Your freedom is not given to you by people who fought against the tyranny of England. Your freedom is not a privilege for being American. It's only Christ that gives freedom, true freedom. It's only Christ who can really make you free. Because, well, you know as well as I do that the truth is not always a happy and joyous occasion. The truth can often make us realize we're not in control of a situation. Whether it be learning the truth that you're not needed at your job, hearing the truth that your friend or family member betrayed you, or receiving the news of a loved one passing away. Too often the truth actually sounds like it limits you and binds you to a certain situation. The truth is not so easy to swallow. It doesn't bring about the freedom we hoped for. The truth, more often than not, can be painful and hard to hear. Especially if you follow the news lately. We continue to be in divisive times. And maybe many of you fear what will come this election day. What new and crazy thing one side or the other will try to tell you is the truth, and that if you follow them and continue to support, they will continue to propagate your freedom. The church is no stranger to that. There's many churches that differ in the truth. Just take a drive around the area. You'll find a plethora of churches that claim the Reformation, with different denominational affiliation claiming the truth. We even see that difference in division in our own families. So how do you know if you're being told the truth? And how can you know if you're truly free? You see, because we do not follow our fathers, we do not follow our forefathers like Washington, Jefferson. We don't follow Trump or Luther. We can't follow them because they can misguide us. Our master is not the men of the Reformation. Our master is not the leaders of our nation. Our assurance cannot be found in our teachers, not in our pastors, our bosses, or even in our friends. I mean, sure, okay? Your pastors, your educators, your friends and loved ones, they speak true things, and they show you true actions and give you an example. But what they speak and what they do is all because of Christ. They are good to follow because they follow Christ. They are good to hear because they point to Christ. And that's really the point. We follow Christ alone. He is our way. He is the way that we follow when we see a good and faithful Christian who follows Christ himself. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We follow him, and it's in his abiding word that we receive the truth. It's not that our fathers, the people over us, the person we respect, the authorities we have, that it's not that they don't speak true things, but the truth that Christ speaks in our text is found in his words, his life, and his work. He makes a word of promise to you. It's in Christ's words that bring about the Holy Spirit and creates life in you. It's his words that the people rejected, and they put him to death, death on the cross. The man who speaks about bringing freedom is unable to free himself. How is that freedom? The truth is that the freedom that Christ brings is not one that is so obvious to us. It's not some sort of American sense of freedom. It's not some sort of worldly sense that we can do what we want or we're not bound by anyone. We don't have to listen to anyone. But the freedom Christ gives is one in which we follow Christ and we're bound to him. We're a slave to him, no longer a slave to sin. It's true that Christ is the one that brings freedom. And it's because on the third day, God raised him from the dead. To be a servant and slave to Christ is nothing to be ashamed of, because Christ is good and he loves. And to be under his care and protection, Christ will break away the bounds of death, the shackles of sin, and crushes the head of Satan. The same devil who seeks to convince you of a different sort of freedom, to follow someone else, to follow a different idea, to follow anything else. But Christ comes in and breaks you from that, so that you follow him and receive his truth. And then you are truly free. In the gospel account of Luke, I know I'm switching from John to Luke, but in Luke, the resurrection account I like a lot, because there's the scene where it's John and Peter rushing to the tomb. And they get to the tomb and they see that it's empty, of course. They heard it was empty. And then there's two messengers, an angel. And the angel says to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He isn't here. He is risen." I like that picture a lot, because a lot of times we're tempted, and I myself find that I am looking for the living among the dead because I want to follow and listen to anyone else that can give me some sense of truth so that I can feel comfortable and secure with the way I am living, with the way I am acting. Even sometimes our Christian brothers and sisters can lead us astray, not because they want to, not because they're seeking some sort of way to misguide you. But it's because they do want to help. And to follow things of the creation will only lead us to death. But when our brothers and sisters were filled with Christ and we follow him, then we receive the truth and we are truly living, and we receive that eternal life. So to look for the living among the dead is to not be in Christ. But Christ comes and he is raised from the dead. He comes and brings you that truth today. Even though it may seem that your freedom is one way, that the truth is not so clear, that you think the Savior is dead and his body removed, Jesus comes this Reformation Sunday, calling you by name in the waters of baptism. He reassures you again at this table that he has given you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, and claims you again and again with his truth that you are his and you will be raised. Your forefathers are not the leaders of the nation or the church. Your master is not sin, death, or the devil. Your father is his father. Your God is his God. You follow Christ because he calls you. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, and it's in His truth that we are truly free. Jesus Christ has set you free. And now, in that freedom, we can truly celebrate this Reformation Sunday. And we can go from here and show love to our neighbor, to speak the truth in love, to set them right before God so that they might be free also. Free in the risen Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. We continue with our hymn in page 7 of your bulletin. We praise you and acknowledge you, O God.
Having confidence in our justification by grace through faith, and having access to the Father in Jesus' name, let us turn our hearts in prayer on behalf of ourselves, the church, and all people according to their needs. As you're able, please stand. Almighty God, you have shown your faithfulness by raising up those in every generation who call your church to repentance and renewal. Continue to raise up voices in our own day who herald the truth of your word and proclaim the faith and purity and truth against all enemies. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, your word has been the light and salvation throughout the ages. Help us to bring your grace to those in darkness and grant them freedom through the forgiveness of their sins. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
God of power and might, you have established governments and the order of law for the protection of all people and to preserve the freedom to worship you in spirit and in truth. Grant to Donald, our President, Jay, our Governor, the Congress of the United States, and the legislator of your state wisdom, humility, and integrity. That all may enjoy true justice and the protection of life. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy and gracious God, your power is revealed chiefly in showing mercy to those in need. You give to the sick healing, to the troubled peace, to the grieving comfort, and to the dying peace. Grant patience to those in tribulation and trial. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Great physician, continue to guide the hands of doctors and nurses who care for the sick. We especially desire that members of our own congregation will be brought to healing. Particularly we name Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flath, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, and Esther. God of all comfort, we also desire to see and be with members of our church who are unable to be with us in fellowship. We ask that you continue to watch over them, assure them of your presence, and use us to bring your word to them as they are unable to be here. We especially remember Barbara, Millie, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have given great gifts to your people and provided resources to provide for the poor. Bless your people who give aid and support to those in need. Help us to provide for them. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God and Father, your own Son has set at his table among us and gives his own flesh and blood to be the bread of heaven that feeds us everlasting life and the cup of salvation in which our thirst is satisfied forever. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may commune worthily and in repentance and faith feast upon his holy sacrament. Bring us at last to that day when all earthly divisions will cease and we will be one people before the altar of the Lord. Until that day, preserve among us your word in Jesus Christ. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Almighty God and Father, we pray you to grant us all good things that will benefit us in body and soul, and to prevent anything harmful to us or to our salvation. Teach us to live in contentment with your will and purpose and in the freedom you alone supply to serve you with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament, and I guess I'll just make my announcement now. During the service, during the distribution, I'm going to still ask for your names if you continue to give them. I think I'm catching on more, but I would like to hear it, and then that would be awesome for me. That's all I have. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks to you, Holy Lord, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Shout the glory of your name.
are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
On the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
may the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We continue with singing the Nunc Dimittis on page 14 of your bulletin. As you're able, please stand. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
We sing our final hymn. Please be seated.